once more, but it was over something worse than death. She might have made him whatever he had become.
"Anything?"
she shouted. She left that room quickly, kicking the maple stones apart.
"Tree? Anything?"
Emerging into the main room, she glanced at the peacemaker's nose blocking the shattered doorway at the other end. The vessel's engines pulsed with potential. Tree darkened a doorway across the temple and ran toward her. He was carrying something. He looked pale.
"We've got to go."
"Why?"
"They left quickly, but not before setting a timer."
Lannery's senses sharpened. Her veins flooded with energy. "How long?"
"Moments."
They ran to the ship, up the ramp, and even as Lannery jumped into the flight seat, the window lit up with an incredibly bright light.
"Ramp!"
she shouted, but Ironholgs was already closing it. A wave of fire roared across the temple and engulfed the ship. The explosion blasted in, incredibly loud inside the ship, hull shaking and everything outside blurring as walls shook and part of the roof was lifted from the huge building. Tree shouted, voice barely heard. Momentarily blinded by the fire flash, Lannery coaxed them aloft. Impacts sounded across the hull as the building started to collapse. The flight stick shuddered in her hand, and she eased back, trying to remember the layout of the courtyard. If she backed them into another building, they'd be in just as much trouble. Another explosion pounded against them, and Lannery pressed her lips together, grabbing the stick with both hands. The time for caution was over. She pulled and turned, eyes scanning the instrument panel. Proximity alerts sounded, and a wall of blazing masonry smashed down across the window, ancient stones bursting apart. Then they were away, vision clearing, and the ship almost seemed to lighten in relief as she lifted them away from the courtyard. Tilting them slightly to dislodge any detritus left on the hull, she looked down in time to see the temple implode, roof collapsing, spires tumbling inward and adding to the billowing clouds of dust and flame that roared up and out.
"That was close,"
Tree said from the other seat. He was gripping the armrests, his leku pale and agitated.
"The old girl can withstand more than that."
"I mean us!"
Checking the scanner for law enforcement, knowing they'd be here soon, Lannery glanced one more time at the burning ruin of the old Daibendu temple. "I think Kara might be upset."
"I think maybe she knew exactly what was going to happen."
Lannery did not reply, but she couldn't help agreeing with Tree's assessment. So far, she'd been steered here and there, guided by words from people she didn't know or trust. Kara deserved another visit. But not yet. "What did you find?" she asked.
"What was left of a comm unit," Tree said. "They smashed things up pretty bad, but I think one of the memory cells is whole in this one."
"Give it to the droid." She offered Tree a half-smile. "Don't worry. I was nowhere near close."
"Compared to things you've done, perhaps. But I value my skin. I don't do close. I don't even do near. I do safe and sound."
"Then why did you agree to help a ranger?"
"I didn't have much choice."
"There's always a choice," Lannery said. And she thought of Dale again. The choices he had made, and how perhaps she had forced some of them upon him. She flew them high, arcing up from the Kar Peninsula and back out over the ocean, where there was not so much traffic. Tree left her alone, and Lannery spent some time assessing the ship's condition and checking for damage. There was nothing significant. Drifting up until they were skimming the edge of space, she left the ship to fly itself and went back to see what Ironholgs had found. Tree was seated on the cot, and the droid was still working. The comm unit was more smashed up than Tree had believed. And Ironholgs whistled that it might take some time to extract any information remaining in the memory cells. Lannery realized for the first time how cramped the peacemaker felt. It was designed to carry 2 pilots and 4 passengers with ease, but it had been her home for so long, and hers alone. She was not used to sharing this space with anyone or anything other than Ironholgs, and she could switch him off.
"So, this is cozy," Tree said, as if reading her thoughts.
"Bathroom's through there," she said, pointing at one of 3 hatches leading from the back of the main compartment.
middle doors to the engine room, and laser cannon charge unit. You stay out of there. The third door's to spare living quarters, but it's my storeroom. Food, water, spare laser charge pods. I suppose you might be able to clear enough space to sleep.
I'm fine here, Tree said.
His leku twirled slightly, random movement that betrayed little. For now, Lannery said. You've got to know, I don't like passengers.
Hey, I didn't ask to come along.
She could not argue with that. Lannery opened a compartment and took out two drink sachets. She flung one at Tree, and it bounced from his shoulder. He caught it, examined it briefly, then ripped the corner and drank. He raised it in a silent toast and nodded his thanks. So, what's your story? Lannery asked. Dan Powell told me you were dangerous.
You don't believe her?
He asked.
Maybe you've been bad. Perhaps you're dangerous to some, but not to me.
Trisana looked down at his hands, as if considering what they had done in the past. His smile was contemplative.
I've done things I can never tell you about, he said. To people you'd never want to know.
Not much can shock me, Lannery said.
No, of course not. You're a ranger.
Something of his defense dropped then. She thought perhaps he let it. And she saw behind the slightly awkward, scared of heights Twi'lek to the man beneath. And his eyes were ice, his heart a solid lump. And she suddenly believed every word Dan Powell had told her.
Bathroom, he said softly, if you'll excuse me.
Don't get lost, Lannery said. She turned her back on him and faced the living area, and as she heard the bathroom hatch open and close behind her, she breathed a silent breath. Dan Powell, just who have you burdened me with?
Droid, get busy.
Ironhold snickered some choice abuse at her, melted more wires, made more connections. The compartment smelled of electrics, and Lannery turned the climate conditioning to full to clear the air. She sat in the flight seat and watched the scanners for trouble.
Oh, great, Tree said. That's just great.
Lannery jerked from a gentle doze, angry with herself for drifting off. That's not professional, she thought.
That's not good.
She climbed from the cockpit and went back to where Tree was looking down at Ironhulk's. The droid had wired a small mobile screen to the shattered comm unit, and now several lines of broken information.